Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Once again, Hugh Broma is with us. He's the CEO of the Entrust Group. The Entrust Group provides tax-enhanced services such as self-directed IRAs and qualified plans to all taxpayers, and provides a lot of education and manages $4 billion in assets. Hugh, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Any exciting changes coming up for 2010 that will affect what people get to do?
Well, there is one big change, and that is that anyone who wants to convert a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA may do so starting in 2010 without any kind of caps in terms of what the income is that an individual has during that year. And they can pay taxes over 3 years, 2010, 11, and 12, for the amount that they convert from a traditional IRA.
And that's quite a change, because before the cap was $100,000, even if it was a couple, was that correct?
That's correct.
So now you have somebody that might have a very sizable IRA converted to a Roth. Just explain, I guess, the difference at the end of the retirement, or when you're ready to retire, just the difference between getting paid out of a Roth or the standard IRA.
With a Roth, you don't pay any taxes. And with a traditional, you start paying taxes when you start getting distributions.
Why did the government decide? Is it because they're getting paid in advance, so the time value of money is advantageous to them?
Yeah, I think that's fundamentally it. They're going to get a nice little bump, and they knew that they could get that kind of bump. What it did is make the traditional IRA fundamentally obsolete if one wanted to pay taxes up front for an asset that they knew was going to appreciate dramatically.
To make the conversion, you have to pay taxes both federal and state. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. If your state taxes them.
I was just going to ask you. So if you were located in Florida, then you would save a lot of money over somebody that was in California making that same decision?
That's correct.
Wow. Are there times when the conversion would be a wrong decision?
Yes. And it's a matter of doing the math. And what we recommend is that anybody who does a conversion or contemplates a conversion really speak with their tax professional, because everybody's tax situation is going to be different, to determine whether it makes sense to pay tax up front or to pay it over time. Other factors that are important within this is that if you have, let's say, an asset in your IRA today, or let's say in a month from now, and that has a very, very low current market value, but you expect it to appreciate tremendously, it may be a really good idea to take that particular asset and convert it, because you know it'll appreciate in 20, 10, 20, 30 years from now. So it's really a function of what the tax implications are currently versus what you expect it to be at the point that you want to take it out.
What if an asset in an IRA is not that easy to determine a value? So I've got a house in Riverside as opposed to a stock.
Yep.
So you have it appraised?
Appraisal is one way. Another one is that to hire a broker who has had appraisal experience that provides you with values on comps. So there are a couple of ways of doing that. Those are the two most common.
Okay. So it comes down to somebody that the IRS would say that's an expert enough to make an opinion and we'll buy it.
Correct.
Okay. Are you allowed leverage in an IRA? And if you have leverage on something and you transfer to a Roth, does that make it quite a mess? Or
It's actually fairly straightforward. Leverage is permitted, always has been, and the debt is going to be a non-recourse, true non-recourse to the individual. So the title of the properties in the IRA and the debt is also going to be paid for and signed by the individual retirement account. So that's an important rule to remember. So you cannot guarantee the debt. At a particular point, there is what's called unrelated debt-financed income tax, which may be paid on that debt-financed portion. The logic behind it is that, gee, you're making money in your IRA, and you borrow the money, you need to pay some tax on that.
Okay.
Typically, though, even if you pay tax, it's going to be relatively insignificant.
Okay. I wanted to just ask one thing that you had just mentioned about the non-recourse. The IRA borrowing the money, who actually would be signing it? Is that the administrator?
The administrator.
Okay. So is that your company comes in and does that? Okay.
Yep. We do that.
All right. Would that be true if there wasn't leverage, but there was going to be ownership? Is that also?
It's all signed by us.
All by you guys.
Yep.
Okay.
It's all in the trust account.
All right. When was the Roth IRA established as a choice?
98.
Okay, that's been around a long time, too.
Yep.
I got to tell you, I don't know where I was. You really have an expertise that I don't think a lot of people really understand. I really do, because I've been around a lot of investors. You would think that there would be a lot of people going, you know, what are you doing in your Roth? I have never been asked that question in my entire life, just so you know.
Really?
No.
Wow.
I must hang around the wrong crowd. You know, I get asked, you know, how many properties are you flipping? How many properties are you keeping as a rental? I have never been asked how much of your stuff is in a Roth.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a lot better answer in the future. I can tell you that.
Yep.
Let's say I have an established Roth IRA, and now we're talking about in 2009.
Right.
Can I make a direct contribution to my IRA in 2009 if my income exceeds $100,000?
You cannot.
Even if it's established?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, if I drag a maximum contribution over to my regular IRA,
yes,
and then in 2010 I can go ahead and pay the tax and put that in?
Correct.
Okay. Is the decision... Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say in 2009, there's no percentage in establishing a traditional because you can pay the tax up front if you want to. So anybody can open a Roth IRA in 2010. Yeah.
Now, is the change in 2010 going to be around in 2011, or is this a
permanent.
Once in a... It's a permanent.
Yep.
As permanent as government decision.
That's right.
Okay. In doing some research for a new report that I'm going to be giving in February, I looked at the highest tax rates in our country since about 1913 or something. It was the first federal tax. I was shocked to know that about 80% of the time, the top tax rate was over 60%.
Yes.
That really scares me.
Yes.
And I'm getting a really bad feeling about 2011, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can play too many games before an election, but I do think 2011 could be ugly, and I bet we see a whole different number at the top.
Yep.
You feel like that might be true?
It'll definitely, well, my personal opinion is that it will be higher than what we have now.
Yeah, I think so.
How's that?
I just hope it doesn't start with a 5 or something.
Oh, no, please.
No. But, well, you know,
well, in California, we're at that, aren't we?
Sure, sure. You combine the two, you bet.
Yep.
At 59 and a half, what choices open up to the person with a Roth IRA?
At 59 and a half, if you have an established Roth IRA, in other words, it's been around for 5 years or more, you can start taking distributions and there won't be a penalty. If you start taking distributions prior to 59 and a half or the IRA hasn't been established for 5 years, there's a 10% penalty, if you will, for premature withdrawal. But after that point, you can withdraw anytime, all of it if you want or whenever you want.
So let's say you have $1 million in your Roth IRA and you take it out and you put it in trust deeds.
Yep.
It becomes now taxable, the interest?
The income, yes. The income would become taxable.
Okay. So let's say, why would anybody ever do that? Now, so can I leave it in there until I'm no longer walking the face of the earth.
That's correct.
And I can take the interest out instead.
Absolutely.
This
is tax free.
This is like cheating.
No, it's not. It's great.
But, you know, this is big stuff. This
isn't that great?
This is really important. So not being taxed, that's just a huge advantage. Oh my goodness. I'm going to play with this idea a little bit, okay? Let's say I now, the day after I pass on, my son looks at my assets and he says, there's a big chunk of stuff in the Roth IRA. Is that part of potential estate tax?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just needed to know. All right. So that doesn't just somehow just get grandfathered in somehow.
No. I wish it did, but no, that's true.
Okay. Let's talk about disqualified transactions, and then we're going to start delving into the mind of a real estate investor and play with things that I want to know if it's okay to do or not.
Okay.
Okay. So disqualified transactions, I'll just name some categories. I'd love to get, let's say, a second home to go visit. Can I do that?
You can visit if it's an investment property and look at it.
Okay, but I can't just leave it vacant and then...
You could leave it vacant, but you can't live in it, you can't use it, you can't personally repair it or do any property management on it.
I can't stay less than half of the year, I can't stay.
You can't stay.
Okay.
But you can look.
You can look at it, camp in the backyard.
Right.
What about a relative? Say, hey, you know what, keep this in good shape for me.
Cousins, in-laws are okay.
In-laws?
Yep.
Okay. No sons, daughters, okay.
No sons, daughters, wife.
I noticed that I couldn't hire a son-in-law to do a rehab in one of the disqualified transactions.
Yeah.
I thought that was, that's extending it pretty far because that's not a blood relative.
And here's what happens. It's receiving a current benefit. In other words, somebody that you know who is related to you in some way is getting a benefit because you may not be objective.
Okay.
Kind of the IRS's take on it.
Okay. All right. Now, I also, if I have ownership in an IRA or a Roth, I can't use funds outside of that for rehab or loan payments.
Cannot.
Okay.
Now, before I say that, just that quickly, if you do make a mortgage payment because there isn't enough money in your IRA to do it, let's say, and you can't make a contribution and you make the mortgage payment yourself, it's considered an excess contribution and it's a reportable event to the IRS, and you have to withdraw that generally by the next year. But there's some very esoteric rules about how you can extend that. But people have done that where they've made that kind of a mortgage payment because they just didn't have the account of money to make a contribution.
Sure. It's not penalized like the other thing, 155% or something?
It's 6% of the outstanding balance per year.
Of the outstanding balance of what?
Of the amount of the...
infraction or whatever?
Infraction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not of the amount of your Roth.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Now, other disqualified people, or not just people, but a corporation where you own 50% or more?
50% or more, or you have an ownership interest in it that is where you are the manager or the director or an officer of the corporation. And you own 10% or more.
Okay. Have you seen people try to skirt these things and it didn't work out well?
Yes.
So let's talk just a little bit about what everybody that dreams up a scheme always thinks they invent it, and I always tell them, no, I bet the IRS has that playbook. So what playbook do they have that some people think, I think I can do this and it'll work, and then sure enough it doesn't?
After a couple of years' experience in this business, is that how is the IRS ever going to find out? That's their playbook.
And okay.
That's not a good playbook.
No, because if there's a lot of money involved, they probably have...
They lose it all.
Yeah, and they lose it all.
Yeah.
Penalties and, is that considered on the criminal side as well, if intent was the fraud there?
No, it's very interesting. It is not illegal. to do a prohibited transaction. I know that sounds very odd.
It is.
But no, there's no criminal activity involved at all. It's just that it's a big tax.
They probably are going to be holding seminars for you to do it. That the IRS will hold their own seminars.
Yeah.
Please do this and send us a check.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny, on a 1031 exchange, there is some teeth to doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Criminally, but not with this. Okay.
Not with this. No.
All right. I'm going to take this to a transaction that I could easily see occurring between creative people.
Okay.
Okay. And so this is a real life thing. You've got two investors. They know each other, but they in no way are partners in any business.
Okay.
They both buy properties at a trustee sales.
Yep.
Buyer A buys a house using his money.
Yep.
Gives buyer B the option to buy it for a dollar more than he paid. He fixes it, sells it, and the proceeds over the cost go to the Roth IRA of the other guy, and then the favor is traded.
Mm-hmm.
Are we okay?
All one has to consider is, could it be considered a sham transaction by the IRS?
Okay, and what would be, and that's why I asked that question, now what would be, what's sham about that? The intent was to avoid
paying tax.
Okay, well, that seems like that would qualify, doesn't it?
Yep.
Okay. you see the kind of people I hang around with?
I know.
I was almost instructed to ask this question, so... Yeah, I figured there's something wrong with that. Although we didn't meet any letter of the law of, nobody has any interest. It gets down to intent at the bottom of the line.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense to me. Yeah. Okay. Well, scratch that million-dollar plan. Okay. you are allowed to use options, though. So let's talk about that, because that's one heck of a powerful leverage tool in some cases.
Absolutely correct.
I can see, and this is really going to go on in California next couple of years. You're going to have somebody that owns land that's very unhappy.
Yep.
They got nothing that they can do with for maybe 5 years. Somebody comes in and says, I'll do the deal. Here's what I want. I just want to get an option. Here's the price, and I'll pay your property tax each year as renewal of my option.
Yep.
I know somebody that made $30 million on that exact plan, only it wasn't in his Roth. But if
why
it,
not?
Well, I probably, again, I'm having lunch with the wrong guys, but he did make that. But
yep.
If he had made that in his Roth, that would have been perfectly legal transaction.
Absolutely perfectly legal.
Wow. I would imagine then you've seen some people make some sizable funds grow in their Roth IRA over time.
Yes. And options is the option play is one of the best plays that people have done to increase value pretty dramatically. There are people who are pretty sophisticated, knew what an option was and how to do it and when to time it.
And is there any length of time that is involved?
No.
Okay, so it just it gets back to the intent of the
right.
transaction. Are there any quantity? Now, what we do is we buy and sell real estate.
Mm-hmm.
If my, let's say my Roth IRA has enough money to do a transaction a month, I fix it up, I resell it, and do it 12 times a year, is that a problem?
Well, it depends.
That's
and
not good.
Do you like that? it depends on whether or not, and this is commonly looked at as the dealer rules,
Yeah.
Are you a dealer? And the question is, if you're doing this professionally and you are now involved in being a dealer, considered a dealer within the IRA as running it as a business, then it is not illegal to do it in an individual retirement account. But the issue is that there may be dealer issues outside the IRA that the IRA now has to confront. Typically, that's not been a problem because one of the obligations you have for your individual retirement account is to make a lot of money. And how you make that money, if part of that is to do 10 option plays a year because that's your investment strategy, that intends not to be an issue. You notice tens. And but somebody, let's say, who uses their IRA, puts out a shingle, and hires salespeople to sell their rehab properties, that is definitely a dealer. So when I say it depends, it's important to recognize the difference. There is a very capable attorney by the name of Richard Lipton who's written articles about this, about the dealer issues, and the answer, it depends, is his answer.
That's great. Now, I just want to take it one step further. Let's say somebody has that operation, that buy-sell operation, where he has employees and all that. Okay, but then he also has his Roth, and it does a smaller amount, but it does the same activity. Is that, you think that could be an issue, or it depends?
I think it's in a depends, but it's more on the side of, that's how you make money. That's great, but you're not running it as part of your dealer operation.
Exactly.
So you're not a dealer.
Okay. All right, but I guess that would depend on the mood of the IRS that day.
That day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they're generally pretty reasonable in the tax courts, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spec building. Is that something that's allowed?
Love it.
Okay. And land ownership is okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Investing in trustees. I don't want to leave that out.
Absolutely. All day long.
And the process there, let's say we have a hard money loan operation, and we have a client that's involved with Entrust, and we have a trust deed. You really need a very complete package before you are ready to say we will cut loose with your funds.
The package is up to the IRA owner, and what we want to do is make sure that we can take that we have an asset that we can title in the name of the trust for the individual retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to have complete a package as the IRA owner wants.
Okay. So that's really more dictated by them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I can tell you that oftentimes what people will do, and unfortunately this happens to us, is that somebody is selling or buying a note, and we don't get the note. Or it's not really a note, it's a private placement.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Or it's something other than what it is that the buyer thought it would be. So we're very, very careful to make sure to protect the interest of the IRA that when we're buying a note, we're buying a note.
Okay. Now, buying an existing note and investing in a trustee that's basically initiating right now, is that a different process?
Fundamentally the same.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. A couple minutes left in this segment. This is a good one. Checkbook access.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of that term until I read your stuff. So what is that?
Well, the short answer is that a lot of people have talked about the checkbook IRA, where they form an LLC that's usually sold to them by a lawyer, and it's a single-member LLC, which is allowed to be owned by an individual retirement account, and then that LLC is run by the IRA owner, and they write checks and do their own accounting and so forth. There are some huge issues that we discovered over the last 20, 30 years of doing this business, and a lot of people do prohibited transactions. What we developed is a real checkbook IRA where an individual gets a debit card and also a checkbook, and it becomes an asset of their IRA. It's a patented process, and they can go out and buy all the trust deeds or mortgages or real estate, whatever it is they want, using that particular methodology that we developed. So they can go out there and do it right then and there.
Fantastic.
Yep.
All right. You will mention your website once again, the entrustgroup.com, E-N-T-R-U-S-T group.com with the word the in front of it. If they were interested in making a switch to you being in charge of the administration, is the path clear on the website?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're going to get together January 22nd and teach some people a little bit about investing in different things that might benefit them, and I'm very much looking forward to that.
And me too. It'll be great fun.
All right. We probably won't talk until after the holidays, so have a great holiday season with you and your family. Are you going to be in this country? Or
I am going to Africa.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
They have Christmas there. As far as what kind of weather?
It will be summer.
Summer. You're
yeah.
cheating.
Christmas and summer.
All right. You thanks so much.
And thank you, Bruce. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.